Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, welcome to Good Job, where we interview some inspiring people from the music industry and look at their journey from their very worst job to present day.
I think if anybody is listening who feels like there's a challenge, take it, do it, go for it, because it could work out amazing.
During the series, we're going to be interviewing some amazing, inspiring people, and one of those inspiring people is Joanna Forrest. Joanna is awesome. She's the first ever independent artist to get to number one in the classical charts, and she is winner of this year's Future Classic Woman Awards. And we had a really open discussion. It was lovely. We talked about her struggle with cancer, finding her confidence, why music education is just so important, and how she found success as an independent artist after a career in musical theatre.
Good job.
So we're going to start off with our usual question. What was your worst ever job?
Well, I've had quite a few, and they've all been the worst job for different reasons. Well, they all feel like the worst job at the time. I don't like jobs where, like, people can be quite rude to you. So I temped in Harrods in soft accessories. That's the tights department. That's not exciting, is it? And the people who shop there at the time would get really stressed out if you didn't have their size or colour in the tights. They wouldn't have left enough time to go shopping. So I got shouted a lot. I've also done in my time lots of leafleting, promo work, jobs where you have to cold call people. But now if I get a cold call, I find myself going, I'm so sorry. Like, I'm trying to be kind to them because I know how soul destroying it is. And it's not their fault. They've just called you and they're trying to talk to you about PPI or something. Unfortunately, anything where your heart's not in it can feel like the worst job at the time, can't it?
And we've all had to do these jobs as
100%,
well.
100%, yes. Maybe if you've had a break really young.
It's interesting for you because you also did start as a child West End actress.
I did. So I was really lucky to go to Italia Conti when I was 11. I went to like a normal primary school and just really wanted to be an actress, actually. That's what I really wanted to do. And I think my mum and dad were like, where's that come from? What? Nobody else is into anything like this in the family. I didn't know if I could sing. I just had to sing as part of the audition. I was really surprised when I got in and I was accepted. Yeah, so I basically feel like I didn't go to school. I feel like I got out of going to school. We only did normal classes for half of the day, and the rest of the time was spent learning all kinds of stuff. And I think that's where you find your strengths. And I realised I really enjoyed singing, like, massively. In some ways, I really wish that I had had the epiphany to sing as me rather than in the context of a show. But then, as you know, it's really fun being in a show and you get to really sort of like bond with the cast and you can have some really good times and make some really good friendships.
Yeah.
So from that point of view, I'm really glad that I did it, but I much prefer what I'm doing now, which is singing as me.
I guess you've always gone more towards the legit classical side. Was that something that you found as a child?
No, I really enjoyed being like a belter. So if someone had said to me, would you rather be Cosette or Eponine? And if any of you aren't quite sure what they're characters in Les Mis, and Eponine has a big loud belty song, but Cosette, she's a different character who has more of a legit sound. So they're quite different, aren't they?
Yeah.
I would definitely have said, oh, I want to be Eponine. When I was having my training at Italia Conti, looking back at the singing, it was never one-to-one. It was always done as a whole class. So you didn't really get to know what you could do. All I knew is if I was singing along to Phantom, I felt like I could do that too.
Well, if you're musical theatre trained, I feel like you have to be so diverse. You have to be able to sing basically anything and mould to that character.
100%, exactly. You might be called up for a 60s pop song, or it might have to be a very legit ballad. It could be anything. That's why your repertoire, you have to have lots of different things up your sleeve.
And that's really different from your own stuff, because then you have to do something very specific. I'm going to find a niche.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm.
So as you got a little bit older, you had massive trials with your health, didn't you? So you had breast cancer.
Yes, and that was at 21, which was I suppose any age isn't good to get something like that, of course.
Young.
But it was very unusual. And at the time, this was before smartphones. It was before... This is when computers were still like massive and weren't little laptops. And I sort of felt at the time... I was the only person who would ever this would have happened to at 21. I had an agent at the time who told me, like, don't say anything to anybody because then you'll never get any work.
That's mad to me.
I know. It made me feel like it was definitely something. Should I keep secret then? You know, is this something to almost be ashamed of that was happening to me?
Yeah.
That's sort of how it made me feel. I know where she was coming from. She'd explained that she'd had a client who... had a heart attack and had taken some time off, had made a full recovery, but still wasn't getting the jobs. And she couldn't understand why. And then she thought, is it because people might think he potentially could get ill again? But there's so many reasons why you don't get a job, isn't there? That it was just one of the things. So I think she meant it trying to help me. But at the time, it didn't feel very helpful at all.
Yeah, that must have knocked your confidence quite a lot.
Oh, massively, because... I'd always sort of been quite lucky at Telly Conti. I was sort of sent out for auditions when there were certain things where cast gender Richards would come in. I would get the job, which was really good. I got to do some really, really cool things. And I'd just done a really cool tour. And I'd done a play in the West End. Michael Palin had written at the Strand Theatre, which is now the Novello Theatre. It just proves how long ago it was. And Richard Wilson from One Foot in the Grave was like playing my granddad. So this was all sort of like everything had to stop. And I had to sort of rebuild my confidence, find it from somewhere to get back. Because you know how auditioning is trying at the best of times, let alone if your confidence isn't there. But the first audition, I started to have singing lessons again. That was my first little baby step. And then the first audition I had, I got, which was brilliant, which was Wendy in Peter Pan at the Cliffs Pavilion. And I was delighted, absolutely delighted. I couldn't believe that I was back on stage, and I just thought it was amazing. And because panto is twice a day, every day almost, you know, you get people like saying that they're tired, and you know, and some people can get like a little bit jaded or whatever.
Yeah,
I was just absolutely loving my life. Talk about the theatre, going, I'm in a theatre, this is amazing, I've got a job, I love it. And so I've really enjoyed that, and it was my path back, really. But it was only recently that I thought, I'm going to make the change, I'm going to sing as me.
What made you make that change?
I put on a concert with my husband, helped me, James, for a wonderful charity that I volunteer for called Copperfield.
Yeah.
And we had the idea, because I'm a bubette for them, which means going into schools and businesses and mother and baby groups and sharing my story to encourage them to be checking themselves and to be armed with knowing the signs and symptoms. And I thought, what else can I do? And I thought, I could put on a show. It was the Palace Theatre that we did it in.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really
That's
cool.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
And did you organise all this?
Yes, I had a lot of help, but me and my husband organised it.
What a task.
Oh, I know. But Paul Potts very kindly said he would do a duet with me. And it was singing with Paul with an orchestra that I thought, this is what I want to do. This is brilliant. This is what I definitely want to do. And my husband sort of was brilliant at really championing a new focus and saying, if you always do the same thing, you'll always just get the same thing. I was always cast as the child, and I was always really grateful to even get a job, and I thought it doesn't really matter. But then I sort of thought, no, maybe I want to do something a bit different.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promoting for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're doing this independently as well, so you're an independent artist. That's a lot of work in itself.
Well, you do have people who help you, but you have to sort of find the right people to help you and get a really good team, which you're really lucky that we've had really amazing people to help us along the way, whether that being the most amazing producer, an orchestrator to help us with all the arrangements of the songs and the orchestra, and have to find these various people who are going to help you with the stuff that you can't do. It is tricky because you're sort of faced with things the first time where we didn't even sometimes know what it meant. Like, what's this that we have to deal with now?
All your tracks are done by an orchestra.
Yeah.
How do you find an orchestra?
This is it. I would have had no idea, but our producer luckily has an orchestra that he can pull these amazing young musicians together. They're freelance musicians who work on other amazing stuff, but that's what he did to create an orchestra. The first album, Stars Are Rising, was only going to be an EP to start with. And so that was the City of Prague Philharmonic Orchestra did those three tracks for us, with Robert conducting them, and he orchestrated the tracks for them. But then we decided, let's do it. Let's make it an album. Like,
yeah, great.
Let's just go for it. And then that would mean it was classical chart eligible.
Just as well you did.
I know. It was amazing. To get the number one was just incredible. Mm-hmm. It really was.
Yeah, you've done incredible with that. And it's such a difficult journey. And I think it's amazing that you've even tried to go on it as an independent artist as well. Not many people would take on that challenge, and you have, and then you've totally smashed it. So.
Oh, thank you. I think if anybody is listening who feels like there's a challenge, take it, do it, go for it, because it could work out amazing. So yeah, no, I recommend taking on a challenge.
Well, actually, that was going to be my next question. Do you have any general advice for people who perhaps want to follow a similar journey to you? So if they wanted to release their own album independently.
Nowadays, it is more easy than ever, because I think before social media and a platform that it can give you, or the voice, you were really reliant on having a record label and a PR company to do it for you. I guess going back even further, you'd have to get on something like Top of the Pops or Radio One. And then if you didn't, how would anybody even know you'd release something? Whereas now you can go into Facebook, you can target the exact audience that you think is going to like your music. You couldn't do this years ago. That just wasn't even available to you. Of course, manage expectations. Certain things that if you don't have a record company, I think could be out of reach, like maybe being invited onto television shows to talk about your album.
Are you finding easier now because you've had the one album?
I'm finding that people are more interested, because I can now say record breaker, because I was the first person to get the number one as an independent artist. And I can say, you know, official chart number one. I think people are definitely more interested from that point of view. And I think the sort of PR campaign for the second album was probably easier in some ways because of that. It's constantly knocking on doors and trying to keep motivated.
That's a difficult thing in itself. What do you do? Or is it just because you love it?
I do love it. I think what really helped is both of the albums I am so super proud of. I wanted to do them justice. So I wanted to work really, really hard. Don't be afraid of shouting about everything everywhere. People who are your friends or new fans will absolutely love it, and they'll want to follow you on your journey. They will. And the support comes from all kinds of people. It could be a friend of your parents who suddenly says, I've bought it and I love it. And you think, wow, they've supported me. That is so, so lovely. If people want to follow you on your journey, they will. If they're being negative, then your journey isn't for them, and that's fine. Don't make it stop you. Don't let it make you feel bad in any way. Keep going. Show them they're wrong, but let it make you even stronger.
Do you have a vocal routine or anything you do?
It depends what I'm sort of singing for, I think. Mm-hmm. I've tried to be a lot more relaxed about worrying about how my voice is. And I think that is definitely the best thing that you can do.
Are you quite self-critical?
There were times, say when I was doing panto or something, I would worry about my voice, that I'd like lost my voice, and was my voice okay? And cause like, is it there? I'm not like that at all now. I've like massively chilled out. Mm-hmm. And I sort of have more faith it's going to be fine. And if you think like that, it is. Unless, of course, you're definitely unwell, then that's something you can't do anything about. Mm-hmm. But with a routine, if I'm going to sing at an event that I feel is going to be quite challenging, the extra measures I would take is I love steaming, trying to drink lots and lots and lots of water. Sleep is probably, I would say, the most important out of all of them, and definitely a warm-up. You know, have some days you wake up and you're like, oh my God, I feel like I'm in really good voice today. I can see anything. Amazing. I think even if you're feeling like that, still do a warm-up. If you're feeling like you're waking up and you're thinking, oh no, I don't think I'm going to sound very good today, I feel a bit tired, and don't panic. Do your warm-up, and then you'll be like, oh yes, there it is. Yep. Sometimes you just need a little bit more help. When I used to do, say, straight plays, I did the outside performances at Shaw's Corner, which is definitely like actors. And they would do their vocal warm-ups, and sometimes they would panic that they weren't sounding quite as sort of rich, and I would think to myself, but you're only speaking, you're only talking. But obviously they want to sound rich and resonant, which is of course amazing, and they should be doing a warm-up because they're talking outside. But I always used to feel a lot more relaxed if I was just like doing a voiceover or something, just talking. Definitely easier than if you're going to be singing.
Especially if you're a soprano and you're singing higher stuff. But when you're speaking, you're in just kind of a small range. So
100%. I think if any performer, any actor who's listening to this, who hasn't done a musical theatre course, will be really furious at us saying that. But I think if you have sung as well, that is what you think. Just have to just relax and just hope that it will come. And you know, unless you're recording, it's not even there forever anyway. It's a moment in time, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. And if you hit a wrong note, it's gone. Like, one else will hear it again. And if you're recording, just do it again.
As a singer, if we were listening to another singer, maybe there's always that critical part of you that kicks in. But normal people who want to enjoy themselves, they don't do that. They don't sit there going, well, how's she going to do this bit? Oh, okay. No, they don't do that. They just enjoy it. Mm-hmm. And they're also listening to the rest of the orchestra. It's not all about you as the singer, is it?
Yeah. And it is the emotion. If they feel that, then you can do a bum note and they'll be like,
Gosh, definitely. Because really popular artists definitely may not have been the best singers. They've had some kind of star quality that has drawn people into them, and maybe they're really watchable, or they tell a story amazingly, and that's what's made them popular, or their personality.
Yeah. So what are you up to now?
One of the things that I'm going to do more of is going into sort of schools and doing like little workshops. Mm-hmm. So I did one, and a lot of the children hadn't really heard classical music. I really hope this album will, you know, sort of show younger children how cool music is and all the different instruments, even if they don't have the opportunity, because some schools have cut back on their funding for music, which is a shame. Mm-hmm. Singing, that's free. Like, even if they were, like, singing an assembly or something. And I've done it a few times, and it's, like, really cool because they absolutely love it. And I just think music's so important. I can't believe that it's not mandatory. But
yeah, there's so much science behind how it helps the brain and
does,
everything
and
like that.
The feel-good factor, it helps children learn. We've got all these apps on our phone now, like Mindful, about calm and all these things. What about if the thing that could make us really relax and be calm has been around for hundreds of years, and that's classical music. And it's all about firing imagination of children. Orchestras can paint pictures for your mind and for them to really sort of not just be listening to the music, but where's it going to take them? And I think that's just as important as a book.
Good job.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.